It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
With me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi, Don't Tread on Me, didn't even know it existed. Didn't even know. I mean, he and I, we're good friends. We've been friends for a long time, but I, you know, we're so busy, each one of us. You know, it's, you know, I mean, we're covering a lot of different ground, and that's just, you know, You know, he does his thing, I do my thing, and we just keep doing it. And I tell you, he's really doing a great job on bringing video media to the internet. And that was always his focus. He's like, we are going to be able to compete with these big bad guys. We got some people that he has been able to get some funding. He's been able to get some interested people that focus on creating the show, and he does it in real time. You know, one thing that's interesting is, I mean, it takes the box it takes to do it. And so, I mean, you know, this equipment's not free, you know. I mean, you can't put a thing in a rack for a radio thing without spending, you know, just for, I mean, nothing is $1,000 to $5,000 just for a little whiz bang kind of whatever. I go, heck, man, my VCR looks more complicated than this, and I got to pay for this. But, you know, that's professional stuff. I mean, that's what it costs. And he got, you know, all the goodies for doing video. This is the machine that he had. I can't remember what it was. He was showing it to me, and we're talking about it, and we're contemplating. We'll see what happens. But what it is a box that is able, while you watch the reality report, they do a lot of green screen stuff. I mean, they used to have a studio. You know, they did it in his garage or basement or something, and it looked nice. You know, we were like, cool. You know, but they go, you know, we can do all this with green screen. You know, we could have, you know, it's like that Tosh, 1.0 or whatever, that internet guy. And, you know, what they do is they do the show. He'll be standing there doing something. Then he goes to someone else, and they're at a desk, and they got really nice graphics behind them. They bring up real live subtitles and scroll bars and all of the whiz-bang Fox News kind of stuff. How do you compete with that when you got real content? You know, not made up, blah, 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 blah stuff. They were all flash. They're all style over substance. What happens when you have substance and then you start adding some style? How do you compete with that when you're the big bad guys? The only thing that they have is distribution. What happens when that changes? What happens when we go to Spaceship 1, 2, and 15 or whatever and you start putting up your own satellites? What happens when the freedom movement gets its own communication satellite? Anybody just dials in? Has a broadband internet. You can go interactive. Or it just has its own TV channel or its own radio series. You know, like when you go to Sirius or XM Radio or something, there was a lot in the freedom movement going, yeah, right on. We'll be able to get, and we could, them no, heck no. Why? Because the guys in there, they have their own biases. They have their own worries and fears from the man. They're told just how it's going to be. So you can see from their perspective, they're like, man, we got all this big investment in this. I tell you what we can do. We'll bring over Howard Stern. Some of you may not remember that. You know, I could put that up. I'll put it up on today's archive. I'll go find it. I got to make a note, make sure I don't forget. It was Howard Stern when he was going over to, was it XM, Sirius? I think it was Sirius. And you go to the movie theaters, and they had like it was a trailer for a new movie coming in. And you're going, ah, cool, you know, it's the sky and it's the stars. And you had the stars kind of constellations coming together. And they did. And all of a sudden, it was a big penis. You know, Constellation in the theater, this big penis. And I think it had testicles too, but this big penis in the shape of that, you know, made out of stars. And then, you know, boom, something comes out, you know, and it's Howard Stern going to be on. You just knew it wasn't going to be traditional. You're going, wow, what a way to launch this whole new concept. But I don't think it expanded in the direction that, I mean, you know, this kind of gonzo stuff. I mean, you know, it's just having fun and being irreverent. You know, I mean, he'd go on Jay Leno and he'd bring a couple of lesbian porn stars with him. And they have the camera on really tight to where it's just Jay while these girls are like making out over there, and they won't show him. You know, he's going, this is going to be your highest rated show, Jay, your highest rated show. And then he had Siskel and Ebert on. I remember they were on and they're laying with their legs across Siskel and Ebert as they're trying to talk and so on. They find that they just start stroking the leg, you know, and then the girls get on the desk with, I think it was David Letterman one time or Jay Leno. I mean, and Stern is making a point. He's going, look, you know, this is where the rating, this is what they are keeping from you. This is, you know, is that right, wrong? That wasn't his point. He's going, you know, if this is a business, they're not handling it like one. You know, I want to be free. I want to be left alone. I want to be able to do what I want. So he goes over to Satellite and he's able to do it. Very popular. All right. You know, a lot of people bought it. They may be going out of business for all we know. But what happened with the freedom of political thought? Who's advocating for that? Who's advocating for a different, you know, I have the freedom to go be stupid, but do I have the freedom to challenge the guy that writes the license for me to be able to go be stupid? You know, it's always when, that's one thing that I got out of the Matrix, even from the first time I watched it back in, what was it, 95 or something? That was a long time ago. And you don't have the people with the mirror sunglasses and the black suits and the little curly thing in their ear come out until what? You could have war, rape, pillage, murder, steal, whatever. That, they don't care. You know, you don't get Agent Smiths coming out. When do they come out? When you challenge the system. When you challenge the Matrix itself. When you challenge the whole process. Oh, you got guys, men in black coming out for that one. Why? That's their job. Their job is to make sure you don't challenge their authority. You want to know that's what happens to political dissidents in China and so on, Korea and such. You can go out and make all kinds of money and pay off your guy and do whatever and be left alone right up until you challenge the people that are your overlords. I tell you, there was a story in China News. There's a magazine. I can't remember. It was China Business, China something. And Barry Hess, a gentleman running for Libertarian for governor here in Arizona, he gets a copy of that, and he always brings them by here for me to look at, and he highlights some. He's always got dog-eared the ones he wants me to look at. And I remember one was a story of a young woman that lived in an apartment building using the common laundry or whatever, and a couple of guys come in and tried to rape her. Well, she got a knife or had a knife or some sharp something, and she killed one of the guys. And the other guy, you know, ran off. Well, come to find out, they were party officials. They were appointed, whatever. They were government officials in this small this jurisdiction or wherever she was in some city. And it was amazing how they're making her the aggressor. She tried to kill him. She was this, or she was mad at whatever, just making up stuff. What happened was the internet. You know, these young Chinese people were making a big, it got so bad that as much as they wanted to protect their own, as much as that was standard operating procedure, they could not do it. Even though they kept her in jail, even though they tried to punish her, even though they tried to get her recant, even though, you know, all this stuff, everything, they couldn't do it. Because the people just knowing the truth trumped all of their stuff. They cut and run. They sacrificed one of their own. And that's the only reason or way that they'll ever do it. They sacrifice their own when what? When it's to their advantage. When's it to their advantage? When everybody knows that they're full of it. How do you do that? Well, fortunately, we have, you know, a lot of mechanisms here, and we're getting better and better at it. RealityReport.tv, that's a really good way. You go look at it. You go to RestoreTheRepublic.com, you go to RealityReport.tv. TV. And I tell you, you know, you'll go, ooh, and you look at the early ones, and they were learning, you know, just like we are. You know, this is the first time we tried to do a simulcast, and I didn't even have time to mess with it until after the morning show. Boom, it's noon. All right, everybody come in. Let's get, you know, bring my suit, and we'll do that, and we'll get, and then we got the tape, and I'm loading it up now on the computer, and I'll transfer it to him, and he'll put it together and edit, and we'll have a little something. But, you know, we haven't been focusing on the video part, even though we've had the studio for a long time, is because we're always, when we do video, we're in the field. You know, we're actually on location. We're actually doing something. We're, you know, doing that. But it's always great to have a place like Reality Report. There are others. There's like Break the Matrix. That was, you know, the brainchild of Trevor Lyman, which was, you know, the guy behind the money bombs for Dr. Paul and the blimp and all that. He's looking for a 2012 run. They're already starting to do money bombs and stuff for that. We haven't even got in the 10 yet. Woo-hoo. The future's bright, which all the more reason why I think they're going to come after us. In what way? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Johnny Quest. Yeah, I always like that, man. That is cool. You know, one thing I want to do, I was looking at the trailer, Don't Tread on Me. You know, I apologize. I didn't even know about this. You know, we were going to talk to Gary a lot about the immigration thing, and then he wanted to do the kind of simulcast video and him put us up in his reality report along with me on video so they could do that and make it cool. And I'm like, yeah, right on. We'll go ahead and do a little bit from the video studio, but we didn't have that. The mic wasn't working well because it's too low on the desk, and I did a lavalier one that didn't, you know, so we'd screw it. We'd come in, you know, to the radio studio and finish it up, and they'll put that up. So you kind of get an idea of what we have down here. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com, I'm sure in the next day or two when he gets that done, we'll put it up and you guys can see how it rolls here. What we do, we can probably do. We got the web camera. We can put that in here too. We can start simulcasting. We're just busy, man. You know, I got this national chair libertarian convention St. Louis thing going on. We'll be jerking around with playing on the internet all this stuff in June, July. But there's always something. You know, there's tons of things. We got a 4th of July thing that we're doing here. We got all kinds of stuff. But we're all busy. I know a lot of these guys. You know, they're all on their own project, and when we make a big stride, we get something accomplished. You know, we'll let everybody know. You know, if you know, Lord forbid, I actually become national chairman of the Libertarian Party, they'll want to talk about it. Yeah, cool. We'll go up there and we'll do that. What does that mean? How what's going to happen to the movement then? You know, how much is it going to expand then? You want to know where love is? Ooh, you're going to find out. But, you know, then it also gives me an opportunity, a larger stage to support what they're doing. You know, that's a lot of the concern, too. They're going, Ernie, you'll go crazy. You'll talk about crazy stuff. And I'm going, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about the truth. I guarantee you that. You know, at least try and find it. I mean, can we even ask the question? You know, one, there was a big criticism on, I'm not really sure why they would say it, but they, you know, if Ernie's elected national chair, all he'll talk about is 9/11. You know, that Bush did it. It was an inside job and all this other stuff. You know, I never say that. You know, I don't know who did it. You know, neither do they. Or if they do, they're not telling us. I can guarantee you that. Let me tell you what I do know. They're lying. What they said happened, that ain't the way it happened. We waited for the 9/11 commission to come out. I remember Charles and I were going, all right, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. First thing we look for, you know, what they have to say about the Pentagon and the plane. Not much. They sure as heck didn't, you know, it was a plane that hit it. I'm like, okay, you know. But the main thing they focused on, the World Trade Center, didn't even mention Building 7. And it wasn't even mentioned. You know, I'm going, wow. wow, I was very interested in what they were going to say about that. I mean, of course, they all, you know, we had a big fires in the other one, but what about that one? Nothing. Just, yeah, we're not going to do it. Then it wasn't too long after that, a couple of congressmen that were responsible for that committee, an investigation or whatever, they bailed. They did their own book or something. I should look it up. But I remember them going, hey, man, you know, when they had the Nuremberg trials, hey, we told you we didn't have nothing to do with it. And I'm going, wow, there's a little CYA right there. And none of this stuff gets reported. So my whole thing on it, you know, I tell people when this comes up, I go, you know, whenever 9/11 comes up, the only thing that I ever say, and even on the radio, until you can explain to me where all the tons of molten steel came from, there's no sense even talking about anything else. Explain to me where all this molten steel came from, the rivers of molten steel. You know, that's still molten, you know, weeks later. You tell me where that comes from, then we can talk. Until you're ready to address that, why are we even talking? You know, what's it, you know, I mean, because then you go back, okay, well, how did it get there? You know, it had to be, you know, very, very, very high temperatures and a lot of it, and it all pooled into one area. And you know, from what? I don't know. You should go check. World Trade Center, molten steel. Where'd it come from? Jet fuel? Seriously? So that's how I approach it. Until you're even wanting to talk about that, just blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen all the movies, watched all the stuff, had all the conferences. I get it. We've done 3-hour shows on it, let them do their spiel. And it all comes down to the evidence of what they're saying happened is just sitting there steaming in a big, giant chunk and flowing lava of molten steel. Where did that come from? Until you're ready to answer that, there's no sense in even talking about it. Why? You know, it's blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's all very interesting. Where did molten steel come from? So the criticism that I get, and there's a gentleman, his name is Jim Dunsing, and we've had him on before. He was the person, he's a lawyer in Las Vegas that was tased and then shot 3 times with a .45 in the back by a Las Vegas police officer. You guys remember that? Oh, that's an interesting story. Because they can. What they didn't know is that he used to be the state chairman of the Libertarian Party. They didn't know he was a firearms instructor at Front Sight. They didn't know that he's an attorney. Man, they stepped in it. Oh, they didn't. Well, they tried to make sure he was dead, too, and it just didn't work out for them. They even took him to a hospital far away in a slow ride, you know. So I'm going, okay. So this is, the kind of person that, you know, is he too controversial? Well, he may be one of my nominating speeches. Why? Because he and his mother and father, his family, they rented out one of the rooms in Denver at the Libertarian National Convention where Bob Barr and Wayne Allen Root were nominated for president and vice president after 6 ballots, you know, because it was Mary Ruart was, we had her on the show yesterday, and yesterday morning, and she was the Libertarian trying to, you know, save the philosophy, and took them 6 votes and them combining, but they finally got it. It was a lot more difficult than they thought, and because there are a lot of libertarians in the Libertarian Party, and they had their own little, you know, bring them in people. But what happened in Denver was very interesting. They did not want to address or talk about anything to do with 9/11. Well, this one group, they go, fine, and we'll have a teach-in thing. They rented a room. They invited any candidate wanted to speak there. They had a lot of people. It was very popular. A lot of good time, a lot of good information. People talked about, you know, this is, yeah, you know, there's people in the libertarian movement and certainly even in the party that's kind of the 9/11, what up? Okay, are we allowed to even ask? Are we allowed to even look for the truth? You know what I'd like to do? I have no problem that Libertarian, or it doesn't even have to be Libertarian Party. Screw him. I'll do it. Just by my, you know, Ernie did. The national chair of on his own. You know, all right, give me all your evidence. Let's do it. Now, both sides, everybody, bring the popular mechanic guy on. We had him on the radio, too. That went ugly. I tell you, it was so bad on Charles Goyette's show. We had it all, but we were ready for him. He came on. It went so badly for them, they canceled the rest of their day's interviews. That's how bad it went for him. I mean, he just, it was so embarrassing for him. I mean, just saying the stupidest stuff. And just simple questions like, okay, well, you got access to this information to do your report, then you got to see the pictures and everything. You're a magazine. Why didn't you publish the pictures of what you're talking about? You made all these conclusions, evidence based on whatever you saw, but you won't publish them. Why? Well, and you're like representing, what the heck was that? So it just went downhill from there. And, in fact, they had a gentleman that called, and we got the copy of that. He tape recorded the conversation. He called Popular Mechanics, got this guy on the phone and just talking to him, just ripping him up. And we played it over and over and over. I had a lot of fun. But this is, you know, to do this and have this discussion, they don't want you to even ask. Why? So Jim and his family, you know, they did, you know, so should I have him, you know, be all controversial and him come up and be one of my nominating speeches? Heck yeah! What? I'm not allowed to ask, seek the truth? And what happens when you find it? You share it? Crazy people in the Libertarian Party. Crazy! Why? I just want to know the truth. I'm trying, you know, and I'm glad you're there with me. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on Liberty New Radio. And, you know, I'm glad we had Gary on this morning. We got to talk a little bit about, you know, just the technology and the ability for us to be able to communicate. That's what I really think that we're going to run headlong into some limitations, you know, just because I don't think they have a choice. Instantaneous communication. Heck, the Chinese freaked out when they were using fax machines at Tiananmen Square. Remember that? Some of you guys are too young to remember that, but I remember getting all this, you know, updated information was coming out, boom, 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 because there was somebody there that was translating it into English. So, you know, there's a lot of people, they speak English. You know, they're translating it out or even doing it in Chinese, and they're just faxing out the information. It's before the internet. You didn't have the internet. You know, they certainly didn't have access to outside world there, but they had a telephone number. And what were they doing? Writing out whatever, scribbling it out on pieces of whatever, facts. Boom, there goes the truth. Wow. It's that simple. So what happened here in the United States? During the Clinton administration, you have Janet Reno in there, and Napolitano was part of that. And what did they do? You know, she was U.S. Assistant Attorney here in Arizona, you know, prosecuting Viper militias and all that stuff. That's where she came from. And before that, she was representing as a criminal defense attorney corrupt politicians and getting them off. And then one legislator that was a senator, a Democrat here in the early 90s, his name was Al Stevens, you know, or Stevenson. I think it was Stevens. And gets him off, had on videotape that he's taken thousands of dollars. Gets him up, that the tape gets destroyed. Oh, you know, sorry, didn't we have a football player that the tape got destroyed? The tape gets messed up. Yeah, I wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You know, we can't make it out, really. Kind of, you know, and he got to keep the money and got money from the state to pay for his attorney that got him off, which was Janet Napolitano. She becomes governor later, and what happens? He becomes co-chief of staff. You can't make this stuff up. You know, this came up, you know, when she was going to be appointed to be director of Homeland Security. It's in a book. It's called What's in It for Me by Derry Matera. You know, this is not secret. Why didn't it come up? Why wasn't it a big deal? You think McCain and these guys don't know? They know. It's because all that whole thing was all just enormous corruption. At the core, on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, they're not going to bring up something that's going to, you know, drudge up both sides. Who's the person that's going to do that? Well, what side is that? How about the, I don't know, truth finders, you know, truth tellers, you know, the libertarians, you know, maybe they, you know, if I get to be national chair, it will be, I guarantee you that. That's what they're afraid of. You know, you want to paint a bullseye on your forehead, start telling everybody the truth and doing it well, and doing a lot of people. Oh, man, they don't like that. So here we have an opportunity the technology to be able to do that. Well, Gary Franchi or Restore the Republic's doing a good job on video. I'm doing the best I can with activism, and you're on the street, and we're videotaping and YouTubes and 4409s out there giving them what for, and we do the radio and so on, and, you know, inspiring activists and highlighting all the stuff that other people are doing, including, you know, the new movie. You know, we got a trailer here. I haven't even watched it. We're going to watch it together. Here we go. We're going to see what's up.
And the American people have awakened. The Patriot Uprising, what some people might call the Tea Party movement, whatever you want to call it. And when the Patriot Uprising occurred, it really occurred and gained steam because the American people got fed up.
In the last 20 years, you've seen an acceleration away from our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and towards absolute despotism.
When it reaches the stage that you can look at what's going on and say, well, this is just a series of usurpations, abuses, which are leading inexorably to this result, then it is not simply one's right, it is your duty to take this kind of action.
What side of the line will you stand?
And I sincerely hope that enough people have crossed that personal line in the sand where they will join forces with the rest of us so that a small number of us are not required to use force and use of arms.
Sheriff, you took an oath to uphold and defend and obey the United States Constitution. When it matters most is now.
You mean from now on? The Cartwrights don't fight their own battles anymore, is that what you're saying? From now on, whenever we get into any kind of trouble, we have to go begging for help?
Not begging, it ain't begging.
Well, then what is it if it isn't begging?
Because 30 years from now, somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
The time when you have to defend yourself from the government is when the law becomes lawless.
We're drawing the line in the sand, and we're saying, this is our territory.
No, absolutely not. I will never take a mandatory vaccination.
There might be shooting that day.
I'm going to do what I need to do to protect my family.
It's up to us to fix the mess.
The spirit of 1776 shall lead the nation.
This interstate commerce clause has been interpreted so broadly as to literally affect every aspect and phase of American life.
What are our obligations of citizenship?
The thing to fear the most is not a person with a gun, but a government that would take that gun away.
A well-regulated militia is necessary to that purpose.
If they want to stop the federal government, they have to find a vehicle. They have to find something that's couched either in law or the Constitution.
There are tough times on Main Street. Unemployment reached double digits and small businesses are struggling to stay alive.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Don't tread on me. A new movie by somebody has Don't Tread on Me movie.com. New on DVD. Well, very cool. Right on, man. You know, there's more stuff. We need more movies to put in our hard drive for our duplicators. That's the thing we do. Lots and lots of DVDs. And we're going to be making a bunch that we're going to be sharing with the delegates. This is, so you understand my motivation for me doing this. When I, in 2004, I ran for national chair then too, and 06 and 08 and 10. The reason was is that we've been libertarian activists for a long time. We're fine. We're, you know, got it going on. Arizona, each state is their own thing. It's all good. Libertarianism is a already well-defined, pretty clear thing. In 2004, it became obvious that on certainly with the internet and so on, that now the national level could be taken over by someone and they say what they wanted it to be. And they want it to be pro-war. You know, yeah. You know, libertarians, yeah, we join, you know, together with everybody in opposition to Islamic fundamentalism. We got to go to Afghanistan. They attacked us, you know, blah, blah, blah. And those of us that have been active, we knew war is the health of the state. We knew this was all made up. We knew it was lies. We knew. So we're going, wow, are you serious? They would even have talk show hosts that were addressing the convention in 04 that were pro-war. And we just said, you know, we're not going to be able to ignore these guys anymore. I'd already started doing radio, and so I'm tired of having to make excuses for these people all the time. They're going, I don't know, you say this, but the national party's doing this, and they're saying that, and they're supporting this guy, and this candidate's saying, and they're putting him at the top of the page, and they're doing, and we didn't have a choice anymore. So who was going to do it? Well, you know, it's you go first, Ernie. Okay, fine. So we went to Atlanta in 04. I will address the group. They didn't make a big giant deal. Didn't do a bunch of mailing. We did a newspaper. We did a nice newspaper. We had a lot of people. In fact, Dr. Paul was one of the columns in the paper. And we had a lot of, you know, big, well-known libertarians that were in. You know, Lou Rockwell and Butler Schaefer and Charles Goyette. And, you know, a lot of people had articles in that paper. And it was a timeless paper. I still have a few copies left. I just found them when we were roaming around in storage. And I'm like, yay, I found some. And it's online at westernlibertarian.org. Westernlibertarian.org, and you just see the newspaper. You can click on it, and it's a PDF of it. And you'll see it's a nice paper. Well, what happened was we made sure that they understood that there was an entire movement out here of real libertarians that weren't going to buy into this and knew better. Don't do this. This is a mistake. You know, the government is going to expand exponentially. It's going to get stupid. You do not want to have anything to do with this. 06 comes. Same thing, 06, the libertarians being infiltrated by the pragmatists, you know, the reformers, that kind of stuff. They want to, we soften the message. If we could do away with all this platform you spent decades working on, all these controversial issues and all the stuff, the cuts that we'd make the government and all the, you know, the language that's kind of, you know, radical, ooh, we got to get rid of that. I go, you do that, you just open it up. You know, anybody else could be more libertarian than libertarians without a platform. So what happened? 6 months later, Dr. Paul even kind of sort of made maybe I might think about running thing. Boom, I knew it was going to happen. You know, all the libertarian movement, everything was going to flood in support of Dr. Paul. Flood. And it did. The backbone of that were libertarians. I knew this. So we go into 08. They had already, you know, created the groundwork. They wanted Barr, man. This is what they've been dreaming. We want, give us the money. We'll be more conservative. You know, yeah, that's where the money is, right? Right? Wrong. They already have party for that. So what do we do? We'll talk about more when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming.
You can complain. I can complain about it. You know, and then see who else complains with you. You know, that's how movements are started. You know, it's just a lot of times people will scream, listen to me. And why? You know, if you got something worth listening to, you got an audience. I mean, heck, you know, that's, what do you got? You got American Idol. I don't know. It's what people want to listen to, I guess. So you may have the right to speak, but you can't force me to listen. Well, time, you know, a lot of people are looking for what we have to say. You know, what does the freedom movement have to say about fill in the blank thing? Because when they're going on, you know, decades ago or even days ago, they're screaming about what's the number one issue is, blah, 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 blah. That's not hardly rarely it. You know, it's always camouflaged for something else. In Denver in 08, when I went, by then we were starting to, you know, getting more serious about me running for national chair. And we were serious. I mean, we present ourselves. We didn't spend a whole bunch of money, but we wanted to make a point. We wanted to make sure that we introduced ourselves. We wanted people to understand what the issues were and what the goal was and why we're doing things the way we're doing and what our position was on some of the actions being taken. And where the real power is in the power of the individual. Libertarians of all people understand that. It's not in, you know, the national party or even the state parties or the county parties or individual candidates. It always comes down to the individual. But they always want to collectivize. Well, if you're going to be part of this party, then you have a responsibility to pay us dues, do this, help this, you know, take your marching orders, go on them. They're like, no, that's not how they work. You know, you just can't herd cats. You know, I just can, you know, compare libertarians to cats. They're very independent. They do their own thing. They don't want to bother anybody. They're just, hey, man, I'm off doing my own thing. You know, you don't bother me. I don't bother you. And I go, well, of course you can cats all in one place. Just open a can of tuna, man. They come flooding in. It's just you got to find out what the tuna is. How about that freedom thing? That's how you got the Libertarian Party thing started to begin with. And then you just keep running away from it. Why? And they get all freaked out about it, too. I'm going, I don't know, man. That's what's made a lot of the things that we've done. That's why we're successful, is we advocate the freedom of you to do what you want. You know, you can have, you know, come down here, be my guest. Of course, they touch my buttons and move my stuff, you know. Ugh. So, you know, you got to put up with some chaos. But from out of that, you get a lot more benefit, I'll tell you. You know, so I bite my tongue, you know, I'll complain, but, you know, hopefully they'll put my dial back where it was, but, you know, at least, you know, look at all the benefit that you get out of it and the stuff that comes out of here and what they do. So we made sure that they understood our opinion. We knew time would tell. Then here comes 2010. Now the whole, it's very clear. We, you know, have a very clear argument. It's not a matter of degree. It is a matter of philosophy. It's not how much we're going to whatever. It is a distinct and direct desire to compromise for us not to be offensive to anyone inside La Machine on the media, talk radio, print, Republicans and Democrats, Tea Party, anyone that's considered inside the establishment, that we can be part of that, that we should get our place at a table somewhere, the King's table. Why? This entire thing is going to fall, and it's going to fall based on just the knowledge, you know, and just accumulation of the truth on what's really going to happen. I tell you the big thing. It's always been the economy. It always was. When I first got started in this, imagine, you know, it's 88, 9, early 90s. What was the big thing then? Savings and loan. That took a dump. You know, you had the economy going bad. The stock market took a dump, Black Monday and all that stuff. You had the, you know, recession thing coming, you know, yada, yada, yada. What'd they do? Go into war. We went in the first Gulf War. Mark Victor, I had on the show yesterday, he's a criminal defense attorney here, my partner on the Freedom Summit. He was one of the Marines in Desert Storm. You know, he's sitting there going, man, this is crap. You know, and like a lot of people, you know, like Adam Kokesh, you know, he joined the Marines as part of get an education, National Guard. And a lot of these young men, they do this when they're young. See what benefits, you know, get their life together, get discipline, have some benefits, you know, go be somebody. They're fit. You know, they got a lot of testosterone. They want to go out there and, you know, do good, get some benefits and everything. Boom, there's a war. There's always a freaking war. There's always somebody gets sent somewhere else, do something. It's not about defending us. And, oh, didn't you read the memo? You don't get to have a say. You're a soldier, man. You're just a you know, cog in the machine. Yeah, yes, and boss, how high? And you don't get to complain. Well, some people did. Aaron Watata, you know, a lieutenant. Now, he just said, no, I'm not deploying. I'm not going to command men to their death and did this illegal. No. So we had his father on last month after they had finally gave him his general discharge or whatever. He said, no, you know, I'm not playing. I see a lot of hope. And the only reason is because you just look through history. You know, the same kinds of things have happened. The same kinds of people have been thrust to the front. And the same kinds of arguments are made. You know, the same kind of retaliation from the man comes. The only thing that's different is the instant communication. They always had it. You know, there was a TV reporter with the latest gear. They had it doing live from. And however they wanted to report it and spin it. And they still do. But for the first time, there's counter. There's truth. There's another perspective. There's somebody's iPhone footage. So they're going to have to stop that. I don't know how. I don't know under what, you know, mechanism. But they're, you know, a lot of people are concerned about net neutrality. They're going to, I mean, whatever they call it, you know, it's always something else. But what they want to do is give preferential treatment to some sites over others. So you'd have Fox and CNN, and they get much higher broadband pay subscription, kind of eliminate the competition thing. You know, Wayne's World Basement, you know, like the Reality Report. you know, or Freedom's Phoenix or something like that. If we don't charge subscription, if we don't price ourselves in such a way that we can afford to have, you don't have the same access to the signal. So you're going, okay, really? Well, once they start that, where does it stop? So what are they going to do? Well, you know, what happens when the Freedom Movement has their own satellite? This is why the libertarian philosophy, I'll explain this one thing to you. You know, this is very controversial, and this is a good reason why libertarian philosophy embraces this concept. Nothing that you possess, possession of anything, having property, you're holding it, it's yours, you got it, nothing you could possess can be illegal. Nothing. I mean, it was vile, whatever. You got viruses, you got, you know, distasteful, you know, porn, you got, you know, whatever, you know. It can only be evidence of a crime. It could be evidence, you know, it could be evidence of somebody that did something to somebody, but just holding something or having information in your possession or whatever is not a crime in and of itself. It may be evidence of a crime. It can be seized and used against whoever did it, or maybe, you know, if you paid for something to be done to make the, you know, there's, you know, all kinds of ways that you can, you know, argue this. And the reason that they take that position is because they knew what was going to happen. It's always the king will say, possession of the Bible is a crime. You know, mere possession. Well, you gave it to somebody or did it, or what you did or preached from it or whatever. Heck, just having it is a crime. You got to, you know, Koran, you know, V for Vendetta, you know, there's a death penalty for the talk show host because he had a Koran in his basement. Okay. Why is that always where governments descend to? Because they can't control the exchange of ideas. You know, you can't, the internet was developing so quickly and so fast. I remember they were trying to, well, we're going to use this language or this binary code to do in this thing and this, you know, this, you can't have this protocol and this will be the standard for digital media and this will be the standard for MP whatever and this will be, by the time they even talk about it, they're already, that's dinosaur technology, they're on to something else. So they couldn't control the way that information was transferred. They tried. Remember Clipper Chip? You know, this is during the Clinton administration. They were saying you cannot have a fax machine or a printer or whatever without having some way for us to intercept the information being transmitted. We have to have, because they could be transmitting bad stuff. And if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have any reason to complain or to worry. You know, these discussions, this was going on in the mid-90s. You know, I remember this stuff. So what they started doing is they're going, oh, look, we can't control it that way. We can't control just people dialing up and sending. But what we can control possession of information. That bill is called H.R. 666, aptly numbered, that was supported by John Shattuck here, the guy who brought the TARP back. What happened is that this bill allowed them to just seize somebody's computer, then look on it and go, aha, we knew you had something illegal in there. And then they'd arrest them, prosecute them, all this kind of stuff without a warrant, without affirmation. And somebody said there's something on it. They just take it. And we knew why they were doing this because, you know, you're kicking out court proceedings and criminal charges because they obtained information without a warrant, that kind of stuff. They wanted to do away with that because they wanted to just grab people's hard drives and go, well, find something wrong. Download some bootleg software, did you? This is coming. Possession of certain things will be illegal. And we already know where that goes. That's why we've been against that kind of legislation. We'll talk about it another time. See you tomorrow.